But you see, that's what's different now. I'm not allowing others to dictate my happiness or tell me how I should and should not live anymore. This is my life. You don't get to make the decisions from here on out. Happy New Year, everyone. Hello, and welcome back to Surviving with Jen. Let me tell you, I have definitely been surviving. Living? Surviving? Whatever. How has everyone been? I hope everyone's been great, fantastic. I know that I have the last 3 months been living my best life. I don't even know if that's the right way to put it, but I have definitely been living. For starters, sorry for being gone for so long. It's been a crazy year for me. Like, from things that we'll just get into it. Let's just get right into it. The first half of my year for 2022 was definitely rough. We all remember that. Not my brightest moment. After that humbling heartbreak, putting my pieces back together, you know, devoting my time to myself and like getting back into church and like putting myself in a situation, like not even a situation, but like a spot where I needed to figure out what I was doing from here on out. Definitely figured it out. I started going through so much crap that I didn't even know where to begin. And if you hear me ruffling papers, like, get over it. I have to write notes, all right? That's the only way I remember things. But let's just start here. 2022 was arguably like one of the worst, most uncomfortable, but also humbling and strengthening years of my life. Like, I don't know. If you would have asked me at the end of 2021 what it was going to look like, I would have never told you that I would have gone through what I went through that first month of the year, have legal issues, work at a gentleman's club, get a new car, fight with family, sell all of my belongings, and move to a place where I didn't know a soul, except for my aunt, which, shout out to my tia Yesenia. I know her, but I don't know her, if that makes sense. Like, in my 29 years of living, I think I've hung out with her like a week and some change. Very welcoming. I love you so much, and your kids, and your husband, and your husband's family. You guys are great. But yeah, I would have never thought that my year would look the way it did. You know, it's something to be said about having to remember who you are and who you were after going through so much. You know, like, I had to really work at my life and figure out where I was going. I didn't know. I was perplexed. First part of my year was definitely turned upside down. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know who I was. Like, pieces of me had continuously been lost. And the trajectory it was headed, without God, I couldn't have done anything. I'll just put it that way. Like, I'm at a loss for words right now, and I have notes. Let me start off by saying that I'm extremely apologetic to anyone and everyone that I may have hurt, especially in the last 2 years of my life, or ever really, but mainly the last 2 years of my life. I've always, like, pride myself on being honest and quote-unquote blunt with people. But one thing I didn't realize was that sometimes I acted on impulses or out of selfishness or maybe out of pure emotion. And it wasn't until the pandemic that I really had to sit down and get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I know that I say that a lot, but it's honestly what's made me realize what I needed to change. Because let's just face it, like, no one likes to be uncomfortable with themselves. Like, no one likes to look at those deep, dark things, you know? I was always either described as, like, super nice or kind of mean. Never, like, anything in the middle, but always either one. Super nice or kind of mean. But like others have said before me, or I should say others have too realized about themselves, is I was slightly overcompensating for past experiences, whether it be my childhood, dealing with a borderline alcoholic father, a mother who was a martyr who took on so much physical, emotional, mental abuse. Could have been the bullying I received from, you know, my grandmothers or grandmother, let me put that way, or certain family members because I wasn't skinny enough or pretty enough, or the bullying at school. Maybe all the toxic men I freaking dated, you know? That's what I was overcompensating with. And whatever it was that hurt me, I was allowing it to kind of take control of me and allowing me to, not even allowing me, but it was consuming me to the point where I was acting out of emotion. So if I've ever hurt you, I am truly sorry and I hope you can forgive me, you know? Man, I said I wasn't gonna get emotional. Here we are now. 2022 was a freaking roller coaster, and I don't even know, like I said, if that really explains it. The first month and a half, I was sad, drunk, at the gym, or at work. And if you know me, you know that that was like one of the roughest time of my life. It was interesting, though. Shout out to you guys. Zach, sorry I puked everywhere. But hey, at least you know, can't just drink me under the table. After all that happened, I forced myself to get up, go to church like I had been doing prior, and kind of rekindled my friendship with someone who had helped me in so many ways. Shout out to Francis. I had my birthday and took my girls with me. Shout out Anna and Francis, Miss Angela. Ro, asking for those shots. And let me preface this next part by saying that I, for a slight moment, might have allowed myself to be influenced into doing and saying some things out of character, hence my lengthy apology a second ago. I'm not someone who likes to act out of character, and I don't like to let people take me out of character. So, yeah. Anyway, shout out to Mr. Rocket City. I don't know if you're listening or if you do listen to my podcast, but if you do, shout out to you. I always love the beach trips. They mean so much to me. Love you, mean it. This whole first half of the year, I had been thinking about moving. I know a lot of people know that I had been planning on buying a house and just settling in Alabama, but the more and more that I thought about it, I knew I didn't belong there. I knew that I didn't want to settle in Alabama. It just didn't feel like home to me, and it never has. And that's something that I've always expressed, you know, to people that I know, my friends, family. I knew I didn't belong in the Deep South. So I had started contemplating in like February, March, April time frame, that I wanted to move. So after the beach and my birthday dinners, which shout out to my amazing family and friends for attending. I love you all very much. I came back and had an awesome spring with occasional breakdowns and therapy and all that. You know, who doesn't? Everyone knows what's an up season without having a few hiccups every now and then. So I stayed focused on work and gym and friends, and I was feeling great being, you know, trying to be happy with my life. And here comes summer. And dang, was summer really something else? I developed a connection with a friend. You know who you are. Don't even need to say your name. Does not live in Alabama anymore. Shout out to you. He helped me get through a lot of the difficulty that I'm about to share with you. He did. He kind of helped keep my spirits up through all of this. I'm very forever grateful for you. May 7th was when my life really took a turn. You know how sometimes you feel like you've isolated yourself to the point where you just don't recognize yourself, but it's like not in a bad way. Like you just don't want to do the same things that you used to do, or you don't find enjoyment in things or places you used to hang out at. Does that make sense? Like, anyways, that's where I was. And I don't know. I knew that some people around me, or like some of my friends, wouldn't like where I was going, or like not even where I was going, but the decisions that I had made, but I knew that I didn't want to drink. I didn't want to party. Like, come on, I'm getting old now. Like, I'll just say it. I'm 29. Going to be 30 this year. Like, I'm getting old. Partying and clubbing, like, that's not for me. I don't find enjoyment in that. Like, I get up every morning at 5 a.m. to go to the gym. You really think I want to go out and party till 3 o'clock in the morning and then wake up 2 hours later to go to the gym? No, it's not going to work. It just doesn't work for me. I had stopped drinking for a while, but that one sliver of weakness changed everything. It was a whole experience. It was a little bit traumatizing. So if I get a little quiet or emotional, I'm sorry. But I'll talk about it eventually. I will eventually tell everyone what that whole experience was. For 5 months, though, I didn't drink or do anything. And those of you that know me know that I used to smoke pot occasionally. So I used to smoke every now and then, and I didn't even do that. I didn't find enjoyment in that anymore. And on May 7th, I went out with a few friends. And one thing led to another, and this issue followed me for a while. Like, I had planned on going to two different states to kind of scope them out and see if I liked them and kind of find a job and decide which one I liked the most so that I could move there. And this hiccup that happened kind of pushed that back, because the week that I had initially planned to leave my first flight, I had some legal things I had to take care of, and I couldn't. So it pushed everything back. So now we're in May, and I'm dealing with all these things thrown my way, and I begin to isolate myself even more. I didn't really hang out. I didn't go anywhere. I went to work, went to the gym, and came home. That's all I did. And those of you that know me know, like, that's really all I ever did anyways. But, like, this felt different. Like, I kind of was, like, in a depressive mood. I was always looking over my shoulder. I felt almost traumatized and, like, a deer in a headlights kind of feeling, if that makes any sense. It was a lot. It's a lot. And I still now am like, wow, I can't believe I freaking went through that. Again, that is an episode for another time. So here we are, May is almost over, and I changed my flight and everything, and I decided that once I was done with this whole issue, I was gonna go. I was going to figure out a way to lock in a job and leave, because this completely, like, I don't even know. Like, it solidified everything. I knew that I needed to leave. I no longer belonged in Huntsville, Alabama. So now I'm in Huntsville, and it's the day before my flight leaves, and I'm planning to go, and I have all my stuff packed and did all of that. My little brother had a birthday party. Happy birthday, Eric. And I had been researching places for quite some time, and people around me, like I said before, they thought that I was just running away, essentially, because of what had happened at the beginning of the year. They're like, oh, you're running away from that guy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, like, anyone that knows me knows that I've always wanted to live back out west. So here we are. Fast forward, my flight leaves at 6:30 a.m., June 26th, I boarded that flight, and I almost didn't make it because I ended up having some issues with my father that night. Yeah, that was a lot. Just for anyone that has or is a father to any daughters, there comes a point in your daughter's life where she becomes an adult. And she is grown enough to make her own decisions. This is for any parent, really. Like, you cannot force your children to do something that you want them to do just because you are the parent. Like, no, that's not acceptable. Like, they are their own person, and they will live their life the way that they want to. Sorry, had to get that off my chest. So here it is, 6:30 a.m. I board that flight, and I can't believe I'm doing it, guys. I am doing the damn thing. The plane lands, and here I go, off to baggage claim. First thing I do is shuttle to get my rental car, and once I got the rental car, it was full gas tank. First thing I did was cry. Like, I couldn't believe that I was actually on the West Coast about to make my dream a reality. 1 week. For 1 week, I was in bliss, chaos, and I was extremely joyful. I was experiencing all the feels. That first Monday, I had some job interviews, and I had some job interviews for that Tuesday as well. I did land on a Sunday. So Sunday, I went out to eat with my aunt and her family, had a blast. Very welcoming, as I said before. So when I went to my job interview, I happened to stumble upon a barber convention. And by the second day of that trip, I had locked in a job. The second day. And if you don't believe in God or the power of prayer, then I don't know what to tell you, because there is no way in hell that I could have done all of that by myself. And I don't believe in coincidences. Coincidences? Man, I'm tired, guys. anyways, I don't believe in coincidences. So, but one thing that I do know is that my prayers had been answered. I mean, how do you go somewhere, stumble upon a freaking barber convention, and then like, what? You have a job locked in there, second day? So the rest of your trip is what, cakewalk now? You're on vacation, you just get to explore? Like, what in the world is going on? How do you explain that other than faith and God? I mean, here we are. So I spent the remainder of that week hanging out and just explored the area. And honestly, I fell in love. I felt so free. I don't know if it was the beautiful sunsets or the palm trees or the fact that I could go anywhere and not know anyone. And no one would judge me because they didn't know me. They didn't know a thing about me. We went to Canyon Lake, at Tonto Lake or Canyon River, whatever the hell it's called. And I left that same Sunday morning. It was great. I had a blast, and I knew once I boarded that plane to go back to be in a mundane place where I knew I didn't belong anymore. I knew I needed to be back. I knew as soon as I boarded that flight, I needed to be back home. I needed to be back on the West Coast. So I finally made it back to Huntsville, and I swore on everything that I had and everything that I knew that I wouldn't stop until I was back in Arizona. I knew I needed to be there. I don't know why. Something here was just calling my name. So yes, if you haven't figured it out, I moved to Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm living my best life. So once I made it back to Huntsville, I picked up a second job. I became a waitress and a bartender at a gentleman's club. Yes, you heard that correctly. I worked at a freaking strip club, and let me tell you, I had some of the most fun times. And I had some of the most awkward encounters of my life. And let me just say this really quick. I don't care if you or your mom or your dad or your aunt or your cousin or whoever tries to say something about me working at a strip club, because I don't care who judges me. It's a job, just like anything else. So anyways, I had awesome days and awesome nights. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but I knew that I needed to make money, and I knew that I needed to save as much as possible because I was about to create a whole new life for myself. So yeah, 2022 was interesting. Like, my experience at the strip club, let's just say dancers are so, what can I say? Dynamic, interesting. It's an interesting environment for sure. It's fun, though. I'll never forget some of the encounters I had with some of these people and some of the dancers and some of the things that I saw. Overall, 10 out of 10 would recommend. Not having two jobs, though, because this was my schedule. Like, I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I would go to the gym on a regular day. And then I would leave the gym, go home, shower, get ready, go work at the barbershop. Once I'm done at the barbershop, go straight to the strip club, get into my strip club outfit, work all night until 5 or 6 a.m., go home, take a nap, because I ran my schedule to a way that I was able to be off at least one day from both places. So I'd get off, go home, take a nap, and then do whatever it was I needed to do, whether it was pay bills, do laundry, or whatever. I was exhausted. Most days I only got like 2 hours of sleep. But looking back now, every single bit of it was worth it. Like, it was so worth it. And now, I guess, time frame, where are we? August? September? August. Here we are, August. I had set my move date for September 26th, so it was approaching fast. Like, it was getting here so quick, and I thought I would have been, like, fully packed by now, but I wasn't. I mean, come on now. Imagine working 24 hours straight, and I know some people do that, so power to you. I can't do it. I don't know how you do. I don't wish that on anyone. 2022, my car broke down. I mean, it broke down, but it didn't fully break down. I was at the point where I was like, do I want to put the same amount of money that it's worth back into it, or do I just want to get a whole new vehicle? And shout out to Weston. He really took care of me. I love my absolute new vehicle. Best purchase I made so far, other than, you know, everything else I have now. So I was stressed out when this happened, like, Old Reliable, my Kia Soul, it lasted me a long time, went everywhere with me. And yeah, it wasn't the most luxurious or like the most, flashy vehicle, but I don't care. It was paid off and it was mine. It made me happy. My little Kia Soul, Old Reliable, as Yvette would say. But I was stressed out. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, here I am planning a move halfway across the country, not knowing anyone. And I'm about to have to buy a brand new vehicle and fund everything for a new apartment. I was stressed. So here I am, stressed out, bought a new vehicle. I now had a car payment. And it's crunch time. Like, now it's 2 weeks before I have to move and I still haven't packed. And I got everybody asking me if I've already packed and if I'm ready. And I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm ready. Meanwhile, I have nothing packed. Like, nothing is in boxes. Everything is kind of, like, organized. Because if you've ever been to my apartment, like, if you were ever lucky enough to go to my apartment, everything was organized. Because I'm a clean person. I like to stay organized now. Don't ask my dad from when I was younger, because I was hella messy when I was a kid. But everything was organized. So what happened was I told my mom and my siblings and Francis that all I needed them to do was to come pick up some boxes and maybe help me clean up a thing or two. To their surprise, nothing was packed. Nothing was in boxes. So we spent the next 5 hours packing everything up. We divided that apartment. Francis took over the kitchen. My siblings took over some of the boxes that I had already had things in. And I started taking everything down in my bedroom. Luckily, those vacuum seal bags work amazing. I had already vacuum sealed all of my clothing and, like, picked out what I was, you know, taking and what I was donating or giving away or whatever. 5 hours or so picking up my whole apartment, packing it up and being done. And Michelle, if you're listening, shout out to you because you've helped me do it before. I'm sorry, guys. I'm a last minute packer. Like, I procrastinate and it scares me. And, like, I'm the type of person I want to keep everything because I attach a sentimental value to everything. I know I'm ridiculous. I can't help it. And so here we are. Packed everything up and I had my last meal at home. In my apartment in 1901 with Francis and my siblings, and shout out to Michael, him too, and my mother. I had Wingstop. It was great. It made me emotional. I stayed in my apartment that last night, and all I could do was kind of like stay stunned, or I guess I was stunned. Sorry if you hear all this ruckus. I live downtown Phoenix. I live in the best apartment complex ever. It's amazing. I'll tell you all about it. Anyways, I was emotional my last night in my apartment. It was a lot. It was a lot. I had made so many memories. So I had a going away party at Jack's house. Shout out to Francis and Jack for allowing us to do that. It was a lot of fun. And if you showed up, Bethany, Zach, Bree, Francis, Jen, Tyler, everyone that showed up, thank you guys. I love you guys so much. And I do miss you guys dearly. And my family also threw me one. I think I had tacos. Did we have tacos, guys? I don't remember. All I remember is that we had that cute little cactus cake that Michelle had made for me, and it said farewell, and it was so freaking cute. I wish I still had it, but you can't have your cake and eat it too, huh? I met my nephew for the first time that day too. Shout out baby Julian. So adorable. But in my time in Huntsville in Alabama, I grew so much in my last year. My last year and a half, 2 years there. I had so many memories, and I felt like when I left my apartment and I shut that door for the last time, I felt like I left part of me there. And it's not even like in a bad way. It's almost overwhelming how emotional I'm getting right now. I'm not going to cry though. I'm not going to do it. But when I did, I locked up that door for the last time, like a whole wave of emotions just washed over me because, I don't even know. It's just part of me was left there. And like I said, not even in a bad way, just part of me was left there. 4 a.m. was when I set out and I drove to my new home. 4 a.m. came very early, and all I could do was hold back my tears when I said goodbye to Francis and Monroe. I told myself I wasn't going to cry until I got halfway home, and halfway home was probably like 17 hours later because it took me about 22 hours to get here. So at about 14 to 17 hours, I started bawling my eyes out. It wasn't until then that I realized that I really did it. I really sold all of my belongings, packed up my car, quit my job, left my family and my friends, left my clients of upwards of 5 years, 8 years, and I set out to build a whole new life for myself. That is insane. Like, even just saying it back out loud, that is insane. I left everything and everyone I have ever known and just came to Arizona. It's been great though. It's been fantastic. So here we are. 22 hours later, I made it home. Unfortunately though, I couldn't like move into my new apartment until the following morning, but I was finally at peace. Like, I felt like I was at home, except for driving 22 hours and then not being able to fully move in. It did make me a little anxious because I had to park in a parking garage where there was a lot of homeless people parked, like these homeless people have cars. What am I saying? There was a lot of homeless people, like they had pitched their tents outside. Now, mind you, I live in downtown Phoenix. I'm in the West Coast. So homelessness is a thing here. You have people living on the side of the street. They pitch their tents. They have their little shopping carts full of their belongings. It's a thing here. It's extremely sad, but it's a thing here. So here I am, just drove 22 hours. I'm exhausted. I'm tired of being in the car. I really just want to lay down in a freaking bed. I want to take a shower. I want to eat. I want to have an actual meal, but more than anything, I want to freaking lay down. Like, I was tired of driving. And I just pull up at a Hyatt Place. I think it was a Hyatt Place. No, it was Hyatt Regency. I stayed at Hyatt Regency here downtown. And first thing I did was get a room. Asked her if they had a restaurant in the hotel. She said yes. I asked her if I could have alcohol. She said, of course. And I asked her where I parked my car. So she told me that... Sorry, guys. Told you I'm tired. Sorry. Excuse me. She told me that I needed to park my car in the parking garage next to the hotel where I had seen all of these homeless people sitting outside of. I'm anxious as hell. Like, super anxious because, again, like I said, I just drove 22 hours. My whole life is in my vehicle right now. So if somebody breaks into my vehicle, that's all I have. So what did I do? I grabbed my most important things, my laptop, my paperwork, of course, my identity stuff and all of that. My clippers, because God knows those are so freaking expensive. And I walked up to my hotel room, ordered some food, got two double margaritas, and I asked the bartender to make them super strong because I wanted to sleep real good that night. And when I tell you that I was almost drunk after the first margarita, I mean, I was almost drunk. I had not drank in months, remember? So those two margaritas knocked me out. People here in Arizona are interesting. I've been here three months now. Yeah. And I've experienced so much already. One of the first things I did when I got here was get in and out. That second or third day I was here, that's the first thing I did. And regardless of anyone who like doesn't like it or who does like it or whatever, I still think it is so amazing. To me, it's just like protein style burger, no tomatoes, grilled onions, and animal style fries with the grilled onions and the green chilies. Delicious. I don't care. Fight me. Yeah, it's been a lot. But I will say I still haven't felt lonely. Not that I'm anticipating feeling lonely or that I want to feel lonely. It's just that I don't really have that support system here. But at the same time, I don't feel lonely without it, if that makes sense. I love it here. I prefer to just, you know, grow through life than just go through it. I've met some really amazing people here. Funniest but weirdest encounter I've had here work-wise was when I first started working at V's Barbershop. It was my first day there, and I had a guy come in who was almost a little too excited to see a female in there cutting hair because apparently V's doesn't really have like a lot of female barbers. That's a big thing here. Like, female barbers aren't big in the West Coast. It's like mainly a male-dominated field, which is interesting. But hey, you know, I'm not afraid. Let's go. I'll compete. I know my worth. Anyway, this guy sits in my chair, and I go through the whole consultation, and he expresses his excitement once again about how he only allows females to cut his hair. Once again, a little too excited. He begins by asking me questions while I'm cutting his hair. And like, if you don't already know me, you know that I love to talk, especially at work. But he had me beat. Like, this man really talks. He asked me where I'm from, and I tell him, you know, that I had just moved here from Alabama, but that I was born in California. And he tells me that I didn't look like Alabama, whatever the hell that means. I give some smart remarks and continue cutting his hair. And after a few minutes, he began to tell me that I look really young. And he asked if all I did was cut hair and stuff. And I told him yes. And he begins to tell me what he does for work and tells me about his income and how much money he makes and blah, blah, blah. A little too arrogant for my taste. But, you know, what do? He's a man. And he was like, how old are you, though? Like, you look really young. And I tell him I'm, like, in my later 20s. To which he answers, oh, well, you better get married soon and have children. Didn't you know that you're, like, losing your value every day that passes? You're going to reach your 30s and no man in his right mind is going to want to marry you. When I tell you it took everything I had not to slap the crap out of this man. I had to talk myself down. I had to be like, you know what, Jen, we are better than this. We don't we don't partake in violence. We don't like violence. So that's not me. Every emotion was literally circulating through my body at this time. Not only was I trying to keep myself composed from laughing or yelling or like being irrational, but the guy cutting hair next to me just kind of looks at me and looks back at him. And then he looks at the guy one more time. And it was like, dude, are you like, do you think you're Andrew Tate or something? And the guy in my chair looks at this man and says, yeah, bro, like, that's my dude. Like, that's my guy. I love that man. And I didn't know what to say because, like, I've heard of Andrew Tate, but I don't follow him, you know? Excuse me? This man, like, I'm not one to judge, but this man is in his 30s and he's balding and tells me that I'm losing my value. So anyway, he responds with, again, hell yeah, dude, that's my guy. I love that man. And then he turns and looks at me and tells me, I mean, you're extremely attractive. I mean, you're so beautiful, but who? And then I interrupt him because I'm tired and I don't want to know what his next statement was going to be. So I look at him and I ask him in a very calm but assertive way, excuse me, to who exactly am I losing my value to? Because as far as I'm concerned, I'm extremely valuable simply for the fact that I am a capable woman who not only can provide for herself, but can create life. If you specifically think that I'm losing my value because of my age, quite frankly, I'm a little bit unbothered. But how are you, sir, someone who is in their late 30s, who is balding, socially awkward, and probably struggling with self-confidence, going to tell me that I'm losing my value? When I tell you that whole entire shop got quiet, I mean that whole entire shop got quiet. No one made a peep. All you could hear was whatever music or TV was playing in the background. So he turns and he just awkwardly smiles. But just for a second, out of nowhere, he looks at me and he goes, I mean, I just kind of had a shitty year. And I didn't know what he was going to say. And mind you, the whole time that he was in there while he was waiting, he was saying things like, man, if you guys aren't weird, like we can be friends. Like if you're not weird, we can be friends. And I just kind of awkwardly smile at him in this awkward silence. And he looks at me and he stutters and he tells me that he's had a bad few years and stays quiet for a minute. And then he looks at me again and he says, but again, I mean, if you're not weird, we can totally be friends. And I just give him an awkward smile and I stay quiet and I just keep cutting his hair. He looks at me, like turns his head while I'm trying to cut his hair. And if you cut hair, you know how annoying it is when someone's in your chair and you're trying to freaking blend a line out and they keep moving their freaking head. Like, sir, this is an awful experience and I just want to get you the heck out of my chair because I'm tired of seeing you. Like, can you just sit still? So he turns around, he looks at me and he says, I have had a shitty year. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm sorry. And trigger warning, this is a trigger warning because what he says is very graphic. So I'm sorry if this triggers anyone. But his exact statement to me was, my dad shot his brains out. Yeah, he died a year ago. And I'm floored. Like, I'm flabbergasted. Like, what do you even respond to that? And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, and I'm like about to give him my condolences. And he's like, yeah, he shot his brains out. So yeah, he died. I have a picture you want to see? And I was like, no, that's unnecessary. I don't need to see anything. I believe you. And tell me why this man proceeds to pull his freaking phone out, opens his Instagram, not his photos, his Instagram, shoves his screen in my face. And what I saw was a picture of him crouched down, not like crouched down, but kind of like leaned forward with his sunglasses. His hands were in front of him crossed. And his father was in the back with an open casket. Why? That's my only question. Why? Like, what's the point of that? Why, when I told you no, why did you need to shove your picture in my face? That's one, like, it's weird. And two, I told you no. I didn't want to see that. That's a little disturbing. Like, what? Excuse me? No. This was the longest 30 minutes haircut I have ever done in my entire life. Like, that 30 minutes felt like 2 hours because this whole conversation, this whole interaction was so uncomfortable. And that's just one of the funny things that's happened. This man later somehow finds me on Instagram and tries to add me. He sends me a friend request. I don't accept it. And he sends me a message request asking me if I wanted to go get breakfast on Friday. And he continues to message me for a few days. And again, I still don't respond. And he eventually he stopped. Next up, I went to a freaking Suns game. I knocked off NBA game off my bucket list. Because I work and live downtown. I mean, when I say I live downtown, I mean, I live in the middle of downtown, like 10-minute, 12-minute walk from the Footprint Arena. I met some of the marketing team and like some really important people for the Phoenix Suns, apparently, in the barbershop, and they gifted us some tickets, two tickets to, a Phoenix Suns game. Hey, and I'm not going to turn down some free game tickets. Like, I want to experience it. So why not? So I meet the person that I go with. I'm getting ready to go to the game. This is beforehand. I'm getting ready to go to the game and I can't decide if I want to wear heels, you know, do the whole, fashionista thing, do heels and a cute outfit, or if I want to be like sporty street style. So I decided to go with tennis shoes, and I'm so glad I did, because when I was on my way to the game, I stopped at this crosswalk. I was just waiting for the go or the walk sign to appear so I could, you know, walk across the crosswalk. Well, as I'm standing there, I think I had just gotten off the phone with Francis, and there was this man standing in the middle of the light rail tracks, and he starts yelling like random things, and he looks at me and he tells me that he can fly, and I just look at him and nod my head, and I just continue to wait. Well, he starts pacing back and forth, starts yelling more and more things, like starts yelling random things. And then finally the crosswalk thing flashes, and I scurry my short little legs past him. Sorry, I keep yawning. So unprofessional. Anyways, I scurry my little legs past him, and he, like, after I get past him, he turns around and he looks at me and he starts cussing at me, and he's like, "It's you. I'm going to get you." And like, I don't know what the hell else he was yelling at me, but he was yelling. And so I start running at this point. Like, I'm running because this man is crazy. And I look back and there he is, sure enough, running after me. And when I look forward, there's either a group of people walking in the opposite direction of me, like coming towards me and I'm going towards them. And then there's a couple to my left. So it's either bump into this group of people or like split the couple in between because they were holding hands. So I just like run between the couple and they look at me and they yell like, "WTF, bro, like what?" And I'm like, "Look, I'm sorry. Like, there's a homeless man chasing me." And they tell me where I need to go. They're like, "Go down that alleyway. There's a door, blah, blah, blah." So I run down that alleyway, go through the door, get out on the opposite side. And I turned a 12-minute walk into a 4-minute run. Like, that is the fastest I have ever ran anywhere. Like, that was wild. I finally meet the dude. We walk into the arena. We got some drinks, and the game was amazing. It was the game that where the Phoenix Suns played Houston Rockets. It was a great game. It was fantastic. Great experience. What a way to begin my new life, huh? get told I'm losing my value, and then I get chased by a homeless man on my way to a freaking Phoenix Suns game. Not to mention, I've had to file a police report and potentially get a restraining order on somebody. It's been great. It's been fantastic, guys. That next weekend after I went to the Phoenix Suns game, I come out to my car and there's like a random rose on my vehicle. My vehicle is white, and it kind of looks like a man drives my vehicle. I guess a man would drive my vehicle more than females, but whatever. But I was just perplexed as to why there would be a rose on my car. Like, I don't know anyone here. I mean, I do, but I don't know anyone here. And then I was on the phone with my sister, and then Francis calls me, and then so I add their calls together, and they both tell me, do not touch those roses. Like, whatever you do, do not touch it. People are getting drugged by touching roses and blah, blah, blah. So I call my apartment complex and I'm like, yo, who the hell's been touching my car? Like, this isn't cool. Like, if it was a secret admirer type thing, like, just come up to me and say something to my face. And the apartment complex was like, you know what, just file a police report. So what do I do? First thing Monday morning, I file a police report. That was fun. Trying to think what other kind of situations like that I've had. I don't think I've had any other issues other than for some reason, like, I attract craziness, I guess. So needless to say, my life has been interesting, guys. The last few weeks though have been great. I no longer work at V's, so I don't, work downtown. Unfortunately, I don't get to walk to work anymore, but, I do love where I work. It's great. It's fantastic. I love everyone that I work with. I met a random guy when I was working downtown who was also a barber, and he came in, got his hair cut, and told me that, he could tell that I wasn't happy because some of the men that I worked with were extremely misogynistic, and I don't do well with that. I'm Hispanic, and machismo is one of those things that runs in men's veins. Not generalizing it by any means, but machismo is one of those things that is prevalent in that culture. So I refuse to put up with it. I'm not the one. But met this barber. He told me that they were hiring at the barbershop that he works at, told me exactly what the name was, and I was contemplating it. Well, the next day, I go to lunch, and I go to the bar to order my food because you get better service at the bar, fight me. And that guy's there. The barber is sitting at the bar, and he looks at me, and he waves me over, so I go sit with him, and he's like, yo, like, what's good, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is one of the best haircuts I've ever gotten. Like, shout out to you. You're the best, blah, blah, blah. And then we just talk about the shop that he works at, and he convinces me. Like, he just convinces me to come in and do, like, a trial run at his shop or at the shop that he works at. And here we are. We're in January, and I've been working there since November. I love it. It's been great. One thing that's kind of interesting here is dating-wise, I'm not really interested in dating right now. Just not on my mind. I need to, you know, get my footing here, figure things out. I like to go hiking in the mornings, you know, just kind of finding my groove here. But one thing I will say is that I attract, or I have been attracting, cops. And no, not in the getting in trouble or the getting pulled over type of way. But I mean, like, cops really, really like me here. And I can't explain why. The first one that I met sat in my chair. I cut his hair, and he was a smooth talker. And we all know I've got experience with smooth talkers. He told me about some training that he was going to be doing in Alabama, but couldn't remember where exactly his training was going to be. So he asked for my number, and I gave it to him. And we all know, I don't date my clients. Everyone knows my rule. I will not and have not will never date my clients. It's just not something that I do. Got to compartmentalize. He messages me like a few days later. He comes in. He's one of those that comes in for a haircut like every week or every other week. We had a great conversation though. He was pretty funny. At this point, everything's kind of PG. Things start to get flirty. And then the next time he comes in, he asks me if I have Instagram. I say yes. So he follows me on Instagram. Everything's nice and chill for a while. Meanwhile, there's another guy outside who, like, not literally outside right now, but like where I work, it's downtown, and there's like a police office right next to where I was working. And cops would come in and out of there every day, all day. It was just one of their offices or whatever. So there was another cop who would come by and like every day would just like wave or like, you know, you can just tell when someone is interested. Like everyone knows the vibe. So just like make like little eyes, or like anytime he would like walk by any of the doors, like he would like wave or like that little smirky smile. And one day, I was standing outside and I was on FaceTime catching up with one of my friends from Alabama. And I guess he didn't notice. This is cop number two now. Another cop has come into the picture. He doesn't notice that I'm wearing AirPods, and he like says something. And so I hang up quickly with my friend and I'm like, excuse me, what did you say? And he's like, oh, do you work here? And I was like, yeah, of course. And he was like, yeah, but do you cut this? And like, he points to his arm, and I was like, do I cut arm hair? I mean, no, not really. I'm sure we can wax it off though, if you want us to. And like, we both just kind of laugh, and he's like, no, like, do you cut ethnic hair? Like, I'm black. So like, can you cut black hair? And I was like, no, I only cut brown hair and red hair and like purple hair. So I'm over here being a smart ass. He starts laughing. Sorry if you can hear the vacuum. It'll be fine. Anyways, he asked me if I can cut black hair. And I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, I wasn't born yesterday. I haven't, you know, whatever. Yes, I'm experienced. And he's like, well, like, can I come in for a cut? And I was like, I mean, yeah, I guess so. That's on you, though. And he's like, all right, well, I already made an appointment with, you know, with my barber. So I'll go see him this week. And then, you know, I get my hair cut every week. So I'll come see you next week. And I was like, okay, bet. And he was like, okay, are you going to be working next week? I was like, yeah, my schedule is pretty much set. Like, it doesn't change. So you can come in. He's like, nah, I'm going to need your number so you can tell me the day that you're working, and so I can just make sure that you're here. And I was like, okay, fine. I see you trying to be smooth. And so we exchanged numbers, and he's like, okay, puts his name down, and he's like, all right, now you got my number, so no excuse to not answer when I call or whatever. And I was like, okay, fine. Well, as we're exchanging information, cop number one comes walking by and makes some smart comment. And the cop that I'm talking to responds with another smart comment. And this is kind of awkward for me because now they both have my phone number. And I'm like, oh, crap. Now what am I going to do? Now, mind you, I've never cut this man's hair before, but I have cut cop number one's hair. So we leave that alone. Cop number one, you know, continues to text me. But at this point, he's making sexual advances, and I'm just like not here for it. I'm not having it. I don't want to have sex with you. I never wanted to have sex with you. Matter of fact, I don't want to have sex with anyone right now. So like, why, sir, why? And I just kind of like, anyone that knows me knows I'm like probably the worst texter most of the time. It takes 5 to 10 business days for me to respond because I'm either busy or I just don't have my phone right there. Maybe I'm just busy and I don't want to respond. Like, you know, it's just one of those things. Or a lot of times when I'm at work, like I forget that I have text messages because I don't use my phone while I'm at work. Anyways, I find out on cop number one's Instagram that he has a girlfriend. So I'm over here sitting like, excuse me, sir, Why? Like, what's the point? Why are you seeking out other women when you clearly have a girlfriend? Like, that's unacceptable. Been there, done that, not doing it again. So again, he's making sexual advances. This is cop number one, and I am declining. So when he sees me talking to cop number two, immediately deletes me on Instagram. And how do I know? Because of course I had to go check. So he completely deletes me, doesn't block me, but he deletes me and then, you know, blocks me for a second so that I don't follow him. And then he unblocks me. Good riddance. Goodbye, sir. If you have a girlfriend, why? What's the point? Meanwhile, cop number two has not texted me. It's been about a week. But anytime he sees me outside, we're having good conversation. I see them walking together one day, and I'm kind of curious, like, oh, crap, do they work together? Obviously, if they're cops, they know each other, especially if they're coming in and out of the same office. Yeah, apparently they're – I'm in a pickle because, yeah, they're partners. So cop number two asked me if I want to hang out. I say sure. We hang out one day. I give him a tour of my apartment, take him from the first floor all the way up to the 20th, show him the gym and everything else that we have here. And he's like, wow, you should totally work for the apartment complex. That was like the greatest tour. I think I'm going to have to come live here. Trying to be smooth talker, whatever. So we're talking, blah, 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 having a great night. And he starts to tell me his literally tells me his whole life story. It was a lot. And as he's telling me, you know, about his life, he falls asleep mid-sentence. Kid you not, falls asleep. I mean, snoring the whole nine, falls asleep mid-sentence. And I'm just like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing. Like, I don't know what to do here. So I just went to sleep and woke up the next morning. I was like, yo, you gotta go. Like, I understand you just worked a 24-hour shift and I wasn't going to kick you out midway. So, like, hope you slept well, but, like, you gotta go. All right. Next day, he apologizes to me, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, he talked to his brother about me and his brother told him that he fumbled the bag big time. And I will say, like, I admire honesty, but also, like, whoa, that was a lot. Way to unload your whole life and then, like, fall asleep. To make a long story short, I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere because not only did I not want a relationship, but I don't do well with men who are controlling. Because I went home for Thanksgiving. Mind you, I'm only in like texting and like on the phone with this man. Like, we're texting every day and we talk on the phone randomly. But because he works night shift and I am awake during the day, like, it just doesn't work. But he's very controlling. I went home for Thanksgiving and he was like, oh, well, you better behave or you better do this or you better do that. And then when I came back, I like distanced myself because, again, like, I don't really want to date anyone. It's just not where my head's at right now. And then for you to be a cop, to get mad at me, cuss at me when I haven't said one cuss word to you, and then you want to sit there and say, oh my gosh, you're such a smartass. I could just choke you, like, with both hands, choke you. Excuse me, sir. Do not talk to me like that. First of all, do not cuss at me. And second, you want to choke me because I frustrated you? Those are all kinds of red flags. This is not going to work out. So what did I do? I did what I do best, and I blocked him. So rip, rest in peace to that message thread that's not ever going to happen or pick back up again. Yeah, that's how dating is here. For everything else, work-wise, I love where I work. I have met some really amazing people. Jorge and Chris and random people I've met either at V's Barbershop or, you know, when I first moved here. And my favorite way to meet people is to go sit at a bar and start a conversation with somebody random. That's how I meet a lot of people. But I get to wake up every day and do what I want when I want. I work 4 days and I'm off three. My dream schedule. I essentially got to make my own schedule. I found a church recently, so that's great. Like I said beforehand, I don't drink and I don't smoke anymore. Partying isn't really my thing. It's more about being outside and being more aware with who I am and being in tune with myself and just experiencing life. Like, I can't wait to see what this next year holds for me. If this episode bored you, I am so sorry. Not only am I tired, but I really was anxious to get this episode out because I was ready to share my experiences with you guys. Let me know what you guys thought. And I can't wait to bring you guys on this next adventure. I have so many more stories to tell you. Let's get 2023 started right. Have a great day, guys.